1 Samuel chapter 30. Samuel chapter 30 is when David is returning. He finds the city of Ziklag burned. The city of Ziklag burned with his wives and children carried away captive. It's a time of crisis for David. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about five things to do in a crisis, five things to do after a crisis. Okay? What to do in a crisis and what to do after a crisis. You may say, well, Brother David, why are you not going to tell us what to do before a crisis? See, a crisis, you never have, it's not like you can say, okay, tomorrow's crisis day. You know? Start getting some things lined up for crisis tomorrow. Don't happen that way, does it?
No, it doesn't, right?
David, he couldn't prepare for the city of Ziklag being burned. He couldn't get the guys together and give some moral support. Now, guys, I just want you to know, there'll be some bad news tomorrow. Okay, when you come over the hill, there's going to be a lot of smoke, a lot of ashes. Don't get worried. Come on. Cheer up. Come on. And it don't work that way. Crisis don't send a 30-day notice. Crisis don't send you, a warning. Crisis sometimes happens immediately, suddenly, unexpectedly. It happens when there's no time to prepare. No time to get ready. Suddenly you are thrust into the midst of a crisis. Suddenly, it's just boom, and here you are, right in the middle of it. Oh, it'd be nice if we could get some notice. We could run. We could hide, right? We could prepare ourselves. We could gather together moral support. We could try to pull ourselves together. But crisis does not come, and so there's no way that we can give you five things to do before a crisis because we don't know when the crisis comes, right? Yeah. Suddenly we wake up tomorrow, and there we are in the midst of crisis. Crisis is that tragic event, that sudden event, that devastating thing that takes place. That suddenly you're in the midst of it. It could be in your family.
Sure.
It could be in your marriage.
Right.
It could be your children.
Sure. Right.
It could be your job. It could be your finances.
Yeah.
It's so many different places that you may encounter crisis in your life.
Right.
It's not, sometimes it, you can have crisis in many places, right? Kind of a perfect storm, if you would. Coming from so many different ways, so many different directions. The crisis that we face right now in our life, every one of us may be different. Crisis you may be going through right now in your life may be totally different than what I'm facing, and what we're facing may be different than what somebody else is facing, but nonetheless, it is still a crisis. It is still a crisis. It is still a very hard and difficult time for us. A difficult thing for us to deal with. And I know some of you are thinking, Brother David, if you've got all those different things to talk about, you better get started. Crisis comes for every one of us, right? We'll face it one time or another. David, wasn't that he was not expecting what he found that day. Verse 1 of chapter 30, it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captive and that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. Suddenly, David's in a crisis. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. Their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive. I'm going to have struggle with that name. And the Jezreelite is Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
David thrust into the midst of this crisis.
Yes, he was.
Suddenly, not expecting it. He wasn't expecting the Amalekites to come and destroy the city of Ziklag. If he would have thought that that was going to take place, David would have left it with some type of defense. He wasn't expecting to encounter this crisis. David was thought that he was looking on a different horizon. He was looking at a different direction, thinking, this is going to be the next problem that I have to face in my life. Do I fight against Israel? Do I war against Israel on the side of the Philistines? That was the concern of David's life. And that's what David was fearing, and that's what David was dreading. And it worked out, and God moved, and David never even had to encounter that crisis. That never materialized. That never came about. David did not have to go against Israel in battle. He did not have to fight with the Philistine. The thing that he was fearing, that crisis that he feared, never happened. How many times does that happen in our life? We're looking here and we think, man, I'm so afraid. I see something over here. And you worry and you fret and you have so much concern over here with this thing that is looming on your horizon. And suddenly God just moves in a miraculous way. Or suddenly what you thought was going to be a crisis in your life, it dissolves, it vanishes, it all works out, and there's no problem. You breathe a sigh of relief. You turn around and you're slapped in the face by a crisis that you never, ever expected. That's how it works. It happens over and over again. You turn and suddenly here is something in your life that you're thrust into. You were not prepared for it. You were not looking for it. You did not expect it to happen. Now here you are. Here you are in the midst of a crisis. Man, first thing that we need to do in the midst of our crisis. Man, I want you to notice David. Man, he sat down. He sat. Sometimes when we go into crisis, we go into crisis mode. And crisis mode is going absolutely crazy. Running here and everywhere, letting our mind race in 1,000 different directions. Looking for the solution, looking for the answer, trying to find what am I going to do now? Man, we're on the phone. We're calling everybody that we need, that we think might be able to help us. We're calling out, and sometimes the best thing you can do is just stop. Stop. David, it does no good to continue to sift through the ashes. It does no good to continue, amen, to be angry. And don't do any good just to continue to kick around in the dust. Sit down. Just stop. Pause for just a moment. Many times the first things we do in a crisis is the wrong thing to do in the crisis. Because we are reacting to the crisis. Sometimes the very first thing that comes out of our mouth in a time of crisis is the wrong thing to say. It's not the right words. It's not beneficial to anyone. Sometimes the first thoughts in our mind in a crisis are not the right thoughts. That's not what we're supposed to be thinking. Man, so we should just take a pause. Pause for just a moment. Sit down. Amen. Slow down. Amen. Sit and begin to contemplate your crisis in your life. Man, notice something else David did. He began to seek. He began to seek. He began to cry and seek out and call out to the Lord. He began to call out upon God. He began to seek after the Lord. And many times we fail to do this in our crisis because we are so busy running here and there and trying to find the solution when we should just stop and sit down and then begin to seek after the Lord. Begin to call upon the Lord. And God always comes through for us. God has always been there for us. God has always had an answer. God has always had a solution. And even though we were off guard, God was not off guard. Amen. God knew what was happening. God sees what's going on in our life. Amen. He knows the sand on the shore. He knows every sparrow that falls. He knows all of that. And he even knows your name. Seek him. Seek the Lord. Amen. And you'll find that God always has direction in the midst of crisis. Amen. It's when we begin to seek the Lord. Amen. That God begins to give us direction. It's when we begin to seek the Lord. Amen. That we begin to find the answers that we really need. When David began to seek the Lord, David was encouraged. The Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. And sometimes we just need to stop for just a moment and encourage ourselves. Encourage yourself in the Lord. You know what? You can encourage yourself by telling you know, God knows exactly where I'm at. God knows what I'm going through. God has never failed. God's never let me down. God's never deserted me. Amen. And God has not failed me. He's not going to fail me now. Amen. You'd be surprised how you begin to get encouraged. Amen. When you begin to encourage yourself in the Lord. Amen. As you're seeking God. Amen. And you're building up God. It begins to lift your spirits. And you become encouraged as well. Even in the midst of a crisis. Even in the midst of a crisis. Encourage yourself. David began to encourage himself by talking about the goodness of God and the blessings of God. Man, it's a time when you're in a time of crisis. It's a good time to examine your life. To examine your own life. There's many times in a crisis we do things out of the wrong motive, out of the wrong attitude, because of the crisis that we are currently in. Because of what we're going through. And many times the actions that we take, man, are not pleasing to God. They're not what God would prescribe for our life. They're not what God would want us, the words to say or the actions to take. That's not what God would want us to do. We need to examine our life. Let God look into our heart, examine our life. Amen. And then we need to begin to learn from the crisis that we are in. Learn something here. Let this be a teachable moment. In the midst of our crisis, begin to learn what God is trying to do in your life. Amen. After David had sat down, after David began to seek the Lord, amen, then after David had heard from God, then David began to take action. Amen. Then David had a plan of action to pursue. He did not know what to do in this crisis. He inquired of the Lord. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to tell his men. He did not have any word of hope for them. But when he began to inquire of the Lord, God gave him his direction. God gave him the direction and told him what he should do. Amen. David stood up and followed after the Lord. Amen. David followed after the Lord, and the Lord honored that. The Lord told, pursue, thou shalt recover all. You know how the story ends, don't you? David came upon them. They recovered everything that they had lost. They came out of that crisis. They came out of that crisis recovering everything. All their wives, all their children, all was recovered. Hallelujah. The Lord made him a promise. Amen. David, I know you're in a crisis, but you're going to recover all. Pursue them. Go after them. Follow after them and accomplish this task. Amen. Put an end to this crisis in your life. For every one of us. And I know we'd like for it to be that easy, wouldn't we? Amen. But there's a battle that had to be fought. Come on, we read the scripture. It's very simplistic and easy, right? When you read the verses. But don't just jump over the fact that there was a battle that had to be fought. There was a battle waged there. They didn't just go boo and all the Amalekites fell over with a heart attack and died. Amen. There was a battle that had to be fought. And it's the same way in our crisis. You are going to have to fight the battle of your crisis. You are going to face the thing and the giant, if you would, that's in your life in the time of crisis. You're going to have to deal with a difficult situation. You're going to have to deal with some conflict in your life that's brought this crisis on. You're going to have to deal with this problem in your life. It's not just going to go away. But God said, thou shalt recover all, David. Amen. And if God tells him what the end result will be, amen, regardless of what happens in between, amen, God's going to bring it about. Amen. And I believe that God will help you in your time of crisis. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and follow after him. Inquire after him and see if God will not honor his word. Amen. I believe that God will bring you through. Amen. I'll be quick here and just so when you come out of that crisis, David, when they came out of the crisis that they were in, amen, I want you to know first thing, rejoice. Take time to celebrate and rejoice what God has done. Amen. Rejoice in your heart. Give praise to God. Amen. Thank the Lord. Right. Amen. Don't just wipe the sweat off your brow and go on about your business. But man, stop. When God's delivered you from a crisis in your life, amen, why not just stop and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Have you ever been around somebody that just could not get themselves excited about anything? They could not get excited. Amen. Listen, it don't hurt to get excited. Amen. Get excited about what God has done in your life, about delivering you, and begin to give him praise and to give him glory. Amen. He solved the crisis. Rejoice. Amen. He gave you the courage you needed to fight the battle. Rejoice. Amen. He allowed you to recover your losses. Rejoice in the Lord. Amen. There's a time of rejoicing. There's a time of rejoicing. There's a time, I think you ought to share what God has done. Yes. Take time to share what God has done. When you've come through a crisis, amen, share it with somebody else, what God has done in your life, how God brought you through, how God delivered you, amen, how God helped you to recover all of your losses. Amen, share it with somebody else. You know why? Amen, I may be in a crisis, and I need to hear that word. Amen, that'll bring me encouragement in my life. Share it with somebody else. Testify about the crisis. Amen. So many times when people, they want to testify about when they're in the midst of a crisis. You know, because we want people to feel sorry for us. That's, you know, we want a pity party, honestly. Come on. We want a pity party. Oh, me, oh, my. Just look how bad I've got it. Then when God moves and the crisis is over, so many times we never hear anymore. Don't hear no more about it. Come on, share it with somebody. Testify how good God has been and that God has blessed you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Man, I think you need to take time to recover from crisis. And there's some people, they, you know, you cannot live in crisis mode all the time. You cannot do it. There needs to be a time of recovery. How do I recover, Brother David? And you need to get in the Word of God and start building up your faith again. Amen. You need to pray. You need to seek God. You need to be in a good time of worship with the Lord. man, begin to strengthen your spirit once again. To begin to strengthen yourself. I don't know about you, but sometimes after a crisis, I feel drained. I feel weary. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's times I feel weak after a crisis, wore out, and I just need a time to recover. Amen. I'm not talking about going to Branson. I'm talking about recovery spiritually. Amen. You need to recover in your spirit. You need to take time out and get into the Word and pray and seek the Lord. Amen. Don't go looking for the next crisis in your life. It'll come soon enough. But take that time to recover. Amen. And be alone with God and spend time in the Word of God to recover yourself. To recover yourself. Amen. After you come out of a crisis, I think you need to know that you need to grow. In every crisis, there should be some reason that will help us grow and become a better Christian. We should be a better child of God after every crisis that we've been through. We should be a stronger Christian through every crisis that we've been through. Amen. Brother Tom Holbert was telling me that his son, who farms and plants many acres of corn, over the past years, he tiled his fields. He had them come in and they trenched down and deep into the fields, and they buried these plastic lines that draws the water from the surface deep down into the ground. And he said that, you know, he thought that it would draw the water away from the corn, draw the water away from where you were, from the roots of that corn. But his son said the idea is that when a time of drought, those roots grow deep. They grow deep. They grow to where the water's at. There's a time sometimes when we go through the crisis, through the difficult time, it is a time for us to get stronger. It's not a time for us to be weakened. But now is the time to get stronger in God and to grow because we've come through the crisis. David, when he got done dealing with the Amalekites, amen, was stronger in the Lord, but he was also a stronger leader among his men because he had recovered all. He had overcome the adversity. He had overcome that crisis. There comes a time you need to grow from the crisis that you go through in your life. You need to grow from that. Amen. Something else you need to do, then I'll be done, all right? You need to prepare. Prepare because you know there'll be another one. There'll be another one. Amen. Don't just sit back and think, you know what? Amen, it's over with. I fought my battle. It's all done now. It's all good. Thank the Lord. Amen. The battle's over. I'm sorry. There will be another crisis in your life. So while you're coming out of that crisis, begin to prepare yourself for another. Amen. David had many more battles that he was going to fight. There is a lot more wars to be won. Amen. He could not sit back and say, all right, I'm just going to enjoy my anointing that I got. Amen. Now he's still got battles that he has to fight. Amen. Prepare yourself because there will be another crisis in your life. Oh, yes, Brother David. Thanks for that encouraging word. Amen. This is not home on the range. Amen. But I'm telling you, there will be another crisis. There will be difficulties. And, but we can, and with the grace of God, we can make it through our crisis. Amen. We can prepare ourselves for another crisis, knowing that there'll be battles to fight. There'll be battles to fight. I don't know where you're at in your time of crisis right now. But I'm telling you, while you're in that crisis, you need to slow down. You need to stop. Sit down. You need to seek after the Lord. You need to encourage yourself. Amen. You need to inquire of God. Find direction. Find that direction. And then you need to pursue. Amen. Would you stand with me if you would? Today when I was preparing, for Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. That's what I want to talk to you about. That's good. Been thinking about that one. Been thinking about it for a number of weeks. Thought I'd share that with you today. Man, the more I begin to think about it, suddenly it's about Christ that's coming out of my heart. I don't know where you're at today. But I felt like that from the very first song tonight, God wanted to encourage somebody. In the very first song, dealing with the crisis that you're in right now. Hallelujah. Wherever you're at right now, say, Brother Brim, am I the only one that's going through a crisis? No. No. I can guarantee you there's many in this sanctuary tonight that's dealing with crisis. Some that maybe they're overwhelmed with it. We're blindsided. It's not what you expected. Maybe while you were looking to the left, suddenly crisis came from the right. Now you find yourself in the midst of a horrible ordeal. Wouldn't it be nice if the Lord would just give you direction tonight? Wouldn't it be nice if the Lord would just give you peace in your heart right now? David, when he sat down, the word that he was used there is distressed. David was distressed. David's mind and world was in turmoil. As you can only imagine what it would be like to lose wife and children. David's life was in distress. But the Bible says that while David sat there, weeping, distressed, overwhelmed, not knowing what to do, and then he changed his focus. Changed his focus and began to encourage himself in the Lord. He began to inquire of the Lord. He began to gain direction from the Lord. And he began to get courage to pursue a hope that he would recover all. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Man, if you're here tonight and you feel like you're in that crisis, you say, Brother David, would you just help me find direction in this time of crisis? And why don't you just lift your hands right now? God bless you. David, why do I need to lift my hand? Well, it helps me to know to pray with you tonight. But also, I think it will want you. You need to surrender yourself to God. Say, Lord, I need you. I need you. Let me ask you, those of you that lift your hand, are you willing just to sit down? Are you willing just to sit down? Are you willing right now just to come before the Lord and submit yourself to Him.